Well, this afternoon we have read various texts. We have seen that the Christmas story is about an eternally existing God taking on flesh. And this is true, he did this. But this is not ultimately what Christmas is about. And we've seen that in God taking on flesh, a multitude of his promises were fulfilled, demonstrating the power, sovereignty, and the faithfulness of God to his people. And while amazing, this too is not ultimately what Christmas is to be all about. We've seen God use earthly servants to carry out his sovereign plan and use humble means in the incarnation of his son, but Christmas is not ultimately about these things either. We've seen how some worshiped the God-man Jesus, and yet some men rejected the Savior and sought from the very beginning to kill the promised Messiah. And yet God sovereignly preserved Jesus' life using miraculous means, and while these realities are captivating, Christmas is not ultimately about these things only. And in this last text we read, we saw something startling. We saw the promised Savior who would come with a purpose, one who would come in humble means, who would be despised, who would be forsaken, who would come to bear sorrow and grief. He would be punished for others' transgressions. He would be crushed for others' iniquities. He came as a lamb to the slaughter that he might take away the sins of all, every single person who believes in Jesus as their Savior. And as Smed spoke about yesterday, looking at 1 Corinthians, the wisdom of man would never lead to such a plan. Man's assessment in his foolishness is that God's plan is foolish. And yet Jesus, the holy, perfect Son of God, took on flesh and lived a holy life. He is the only one who lived a life that has been perfectly pleasing to the Father. He lived it, and then he sacrificed himself in love. And Jesus was full of love, and the Father sent Jesus out of love. And while in one moment he came as a seemingly helpless baby, just a short time after he would be fulfilling his purpose on earth, going to a cross, bearing others' iniquities, their sins, taking their punishment. And what a glorious and wonderful, shocking, awe-inspiring reality that God would do this for people like you and people like me. Life is hard. Holidays can be especially hard in some seasons for people, and you may even find yourself in this season struggling in your heart. And you need to be encouraged, and you need to be reminded of a kind and holy and righteous and sovereign and gracious and merciful, loving God that would condescend and come and save and rescue and reconcile and redeem and adopt and draw near to you. You this evening may be in despair, and what you need to be reminded of is the reality that you, though you may feel alone, are not alone, but God is near to you. And God is mighty, and God loves you. And God was willing to send his very own son to save you. And it is good for you to remember these things, to think on these things. It would be wrong if we didn't remember and think on these things. And yet, as we consider Christmas, and the reality that God took on flesh to rescue sinners, this isn't even ultimately what Christmas should be all about. Jesus coming to earth wasn't ultimately about you and me, although we are undeserving beneficiaries of God's work. Jesus came into the world with a specific purpose to rescue sinners, but the reason Jesus came to rescue sinners is a purpose that transcends you and me. It is shocking and amazing and wonderful that Jesus would do this. Yet where our awe and amazement ends should not be on what Jesus has done for us, even though it's overwhelming to consider. You see, Christmas isn't ultimately about any one of these things, although each of these things are crucial parts of what God was doing. They were ultimately for and are for something else. Jesus, in John 17:1, shortly before he was betrayed, knowing that what was about to happen, prays to God and begins his prayer with this: "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you." Jesus came with a purpose. He was born, and the cross was in mind. But his ultimate purpose in going to the cross was not for you, and it wasn't for me, but it was for his own glory. And God, in his divine wisdom and plan, ordered things as such that the rescuing of undeserving sinners is how he brings glory to his name. What an amazing God. Jesus came to earth and took on human flesh and lived perfectly, all leading to the cross where he would rescue and redeem sinners. Yet from the beginning, what was on his mind was not any one of these individual events, but what all of these events lead to, and that is the glory of God. That was from the beginning what was on Jesus' heart and mind, the glory of God. And God himself possesses an intrinsic glory. He is weighty. He is most impressive. He is unique. He is most holy, most awesome. And because he is supremely all of these things, it is best that he is worshiped and seen as such. Every act he does is a reflection of how truly glorious he is. He himself is glorious regardless of our assessment, yet in his glorious state, he deserves that we ascribe to him the glory he possesses. So when Jesus condescended and took on flesh, it was ultimately about the glory of God. And when God's promises were fulfilled in Jesus, it was ultimately about the glory of God. And when earthly servants carried out God's sovereign plan for his Son, it was ultimately about his glory. And when Jesus lived perfectly before God on this earth, it was about the glory of God. And when he went to the cross, showing perfect love for undeserving ones suffering in their place, it was for the glory of God. And when he resurrected, conquering death, defeating the grave, giving life to all who believe, and as he is exalted with the name above every name, it is all for the glory of God. And as we go about our evening, and as we wake up tomorrow and celebrate Christmas and remember the birth of our Savior, as we remember the birth of God's Son, what should be impressed on our hearts and what we should desire is to remember all of these things well, that we might give praise and glory to God. This is how Christmas should be celebrated: with an unwavering preoccupation with God's glory. And there's only one way that you can actually do this. It's if you have submitted your life to Jesus in faith. If you have trusted in his work alone for the forgiveness of sins. If you have repented from a life lived for your glory and submitted yourself in faith in God. And if you will but do this, you too can celebrate Christmas as it was and is meant to be celebrated, giving glory to God for who he is and all that he has done. And I would urge you, I would plead with you to do that. Don't wait another moment. And for you, believer, I encourage you, as you celebrate Christ's birth, remember the purpose for which Jesus came: to rescue sinners so that his Father might be glorified. As we've already sung, Who would have dreamed or ever foreseen that God would take on flesh, that Jesus would go to the cross, that death would be conquered, that those who were at enmity with God under condemnation would be forgiven and reconciled? All by not the work that we struggle to do, but by Jesus' work in the gospel. Let us fix our eyes on all of the amazing events of what God has done and how God has worked. Let us fix our hearts on the wisdom of God to bring such things to pass. And let us remember all of these things, and let us worship and give glory to our great, majestic, awesome, powerful, loving God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just so grateful for who you are and what you have done in the gospel. Thank you for sending your son. What a glorious mystery that we never would have thought of. We never would have dreamed up. We never would have conjured up such a plan. And yet in your plan, you reveal your character and your nature. You reveal your glory and your majesty. Lord, I pray that we would be in awe as we remember and we recount your condescension to earth and your willingness to suffer in our place. I pray that our hearts would be captivated. Lord, as we celebrate you, I pray that you would be honored and you would be praised, you would be worshiped. Father, that you would be glorified. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.